Hi and welcome to It's About Youth. I'm Fahana Sheikh. This is the show that talks about issues that matter to you. For today's episode, we'll be talking about persons with disabilities, their rights and challenges in Malaysia. Now, about 15% of the Malaysian community has a disability, and about 20 to 30% more are actually care partners, volunteers, professionals that work around people with disabilities. So today we have two disability advocates to talk to us about challenges, reforms, and all about this topic with us today. So we have Faiz from Majlis Belia OKU Malaysia, as well as Dr. Mastura from GAPS, which is Gabungan Anak-Anak Palsi Cerebrum.
Yes,
right?
Cerebrum.
Okay, awesome. Now, we want to shed a really big light on this topic first. So if you don't mind, from the two of you, we would like to start on a personal note. So Faiz, if you don't mind, do you mind sharing with us your personal journey and experience as a person with disability in Malaysia?
First of all, I would like to express my gratitude for this program to invite me to share the awareness and the empowerment regarding on the people with disability. First of all, I'm Faiz Suhaimi. Currently, I'm the manager at Independent Living, Independent Living Centre, ILC, PLPP Bangi. And I'm born with the hard of hearing, both of my ears, using hearing aids. So, if you can say that, since my school days is quite difficult because I'm schooling at rural area, so most of the time during my schooling days, back to days youngest again, back in that time, most of the people keep mocking me or saying certain names to me, as you they call me as Pak Sound because I'm using hearing aid, quite big hearing aid back during my time at the back during my schooling days. So after that, when I enroll and continue my education, and currently still working in the a lot of non-government organization NGOs, so we can see that, of course, the awareness regarding on the people with disability back on our time still during the secondary and primary school is quite low.
Yeah.
But somehow, maybe after the amendment of the or the establishment of the Akta Orang Kurang Upaya in 2008. The people awareness regarding the OQ and the OQ right has been slowly increased a bit. And what we do at the moment currently, I'm still involved in the a lot of development program and the empowerment program for people with disability. And at the moment, saying we can see that during my time on study, we did mingle around with a lot of PWDs as well from different type of disability. So from their perspective, we can see that most of PWD somehow they share the similar experiences. So maybe regardless of their disabilities, some of them getting called by certain names, but maybe some is unpleasant to them. But it happened because during that time is lack of awareness.
Yeah.
But by the time over and currently at the moment, we can see the awareness is somehow getting bigger and much more better.
Yeah, I'm guessing most people don't really understand what you have at that point in time. What about you, Dr. Mastura? Do you share similar journeys to Faiz?
I mean, in terms of the challenges, it is rather similar. But because my condition is cerebral palsy, so I have a congenital condition. So my developmental steps are a little bit behind than others. Let's say, for example, I started walking when I was 6 years old. So that kind of delay in terms of milestone sometimes make people guess, like, how far can she go? You know, can she attend school? Can she do this? Can she do that? There's a lot of questions there. So, alhamdulillah, when I was 7 years old, I have the opportunity to enter school. But this is still a huge barrier for people with multiple disabilities, not only for people with cerebral palsy, but a lot of other categories. Because of their disability, some of them cannot attend school because they cannot actually master the 3M, which is the membaca, menulis and mengira. So with the current policy on education, I'm hoping that with the improvement of the ACTA, the 2008 OKU ACTA, there will be more penetration, particularly on education and employment opportunities for OKU or disabled community.
Right. Yeah. Right, so we've touched a little bit here and there on ACTA PWD, we talked about challenges. I want to dive a little bit deeper on some of the challenges that people with multiple disabilities or person with disabilities in general have with regards to living in Malaysia. Yeah. especially in terms of accessibility and inclusivity. Dr. Masra, if you can share with us, what are some of the challenges when it comes to accessibility and inclusivity that, you know, daily life PWDs have to go through?
I think the biggest barrier, firstly, is the attitudinal barrier, and then also the environmental barrier. Attitudinal can come in both ways, either from the society or from the person with disabilities themselves. And the environmental can include the infra, can include the social awareness, can include socio-economic status. So these kind of barriers really, really determines what kind of access a particular person should have and can have in their daily lives. Meaning that if you have more access to a better socio-economic environment, right, most likely you will have better access to everything. Mm. But let's say, for example, if you come from B40 family, mm-hmm. then you will have more limitations in terms of getting those access and opportunities. So that I just want to highlight the fact that there should be reintroduction and reinforcement of the zero policy, particularly in education. Mm. Because right now, even if the policy is still there, the enforcement can be improved and needs to be improved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, you talked about, you know, different layers of, I'm guessing, struggles and challenges, you know. People with disabilities who are of a higher income group is mm-hmm. probably different with regards to people with disabilities in a lower income group. Yeah. I like how you know, try to distinguish both of that. Faiz, you are from Majlis Belia OKU Malaysia. So are there any particular challenges with regards to accessibility and inclusivity when it comes to youth?
Mm-hmm. So, of course, on the larger term, the accessibility actually, it means a lot of the information to people with disability. For example, the accessibility to education, for instance. So we need to see the accessibility in terms of access to education from the early childhood. For example, we have lack of numbers of early intervention center in Malaysia.
Yes.
So
agreed.
Those people with special needs children, somehow they need to send their children for early assessment, early intervention program, before they enroll their kids to school in the primary. That's our first, challenges or obstacle in the access of education. Second one about the accessibility is the accessibility of the public transportation. For example, you can see maybe from the urban area somehow, you can see the end-to-end mile, the connectivity between for people with disability somehow, maybe well connected, but not in terms from the person with disability itself. If, for example, you are staying at your home, you need to get you need to take a Grab, still you have to pay a lot because mm-hmm. you have to take the Grab to go to the MRT or LRT station. But there is no bus service available from your housing area.
That's
another challenge.
Like the shuttle,
challenges.
Right? Yeah.
Shuttle bus.
Housing, yes.
Yeah, that's for example in terms of the transportation accessibility. The third one in terms of the accessibility, we can see the accessibility to the decision making. How many people is safe, especially from a youth perspective, being involved in the decision making activities or organization. For example, when you try to make the budget, for example, our activities and in the upcoming is a budget for 2024. Mm. So how many youth organization or DPO, disability people organization, being involved in the formulation or the suggestion for budget in 2024? This is something in the term of decision making need to include more people with disability. So from their perspective, from their needs of their rights, should be highlighted.
There's so many things to unpack here,
yes,
I feel.
Yes.
It's quite a very broad spectrum that we need to sort of tackle, from, you know, figuring out accessibility, like you said, from home to public transport.
Yes.
Public transport, like if you want to go to LRT, for example, LRT might have accessibility, but going there, you know, also requires
But we still not discuss yet. When you come to the public transport, for example, LRT or MRT, the lift is not functioning. So how you can climb up to the platform?
That's a lot of layers. When you want to discuss that, there's a lot of layers. When it comes to facilities, when it comes to education, when it comes to when Faiz mentioned about early intervention, how well informed are we as a society the importance of early intervention? Because let's say, for example, like I said, if you are in a B40 family, your chances to be involved in early intervention activities are much lower than those who are of a high income. So we need to bridge the gap. Same as youth, right? A lot of youth with disabilities are stereotyped to just be involved in entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. But then, if you see them from other perspective, for example, they can actually contribute more in the decision-making process. They doesn't necessarily become entrepreneurs, although if they are interested to become one, you know, let them be.
Yeah.
But at least you should give them more options.
More options, more avenues.
Rather than we limit it a certain option, for example, of course, we know that our government provides some assistance for them to become the, for example, we provide the loan, we provide the grant for involving in the entrepreneurship. But we can assume that
everyone
all PWDs want to become an entrepreneur.
Yeah. So there's a misconception or perception that people have of PWDs as well.
Because we have ambition as much as you guys, everyone here. The most important thing is to give us opportunities. One way to do that is to reduce the barriers, like I said, the attitudinal as well as the environmental barriers. Once the barriers are down, you can see that a lot more people with disabilities, particularly in the youth segment, will be more able
more
to contribute.
Empowered to contribute.
Full participation. A lot of program or a lot of activity has been organized by the government itself.
We want to talk more about reforms and some of the ways we can tackle these challenges that are faced by PWDs after this break. Hi and welcome back to It's About Youth. I'm Fana Sheh and today I'm joined by two disability advocates, Faiz and Dr. Mastura, to talk about, challenges that was faced by PWDs in Malaysia, but now we want to talk about reforms and measures that needs to be taken to address them. So, because we are fresh off state elections, I think it is the flavour to sort of touch on this a little bit. State elections, even GE15 even, when it comes to addressing PWD's rights and challenges, have they been enough when it comes to manifestos and all that? Faiz, you can go first.
Of course, when we come to the PWD right, the access for election is one of the key being highlighted in the PWD Act. So, in terms of access to the election, the most important part we need to be aware in our mind actually, how the information in the election, not just during the election process, before election even started, the campaign process is being accessible to PWD itself. For example, let me see, some of the parties, they have been campaigned, they put a flyer and they hand over to the blind people. Is the particular flyer actually accessible to the blind people itself? So without the accessible information, all of this manifesto, no matter how good it is, it cannot be cannot reach to the people with disability. That's one part. Another part actually, I can see that most of the parties that campaign, they put the idea of improving the life and quality of life for people with disability. But somehow, we need to be more precise about the ways
more
how
specific.
It should be implemented, rather than we just saying that we're going to propose, we're going to provide more PWD centres and so on. But how many and for what PWD should be highlighted?
I think that is also a very important point that we would like to emphasize here, because both parties, meaning that the opposition or the government, the current government, have like similar style in basically addressing manifestos for the PWDs, in a sense that they do not describe specific items as to how exactly these improvements can be utilized, and basically. They do not even specify as to how much or how many of those promises will be included if whoever won the election, for example.
Yeah.
You know, it should be as specific, because the thing is, let's say for example for agriculture, they put certain amount of budget, like for example 6 million for da 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 da, but for disability. no specific figures. Figures and implementation points that they emphasized during the election, either the state elections or the PRU 15.
Last time.
And the most important part, actually, we can see actually, either is any PWD's group or PWD organization being involved in the decision making in process to get to list out all STs manifesto for the other party for PWDs right itself for PWD welfare. So if you just from a certain of people perspective,
cannot be just a one-off token. It has to be more comprehensive.
Right. Talking about comprehensive measures and policies here, let's just not look at the unity government alone, but policies and measures that have been implemented even before when it comes to person with disabilities. Has there been any that are inclusive, or has it been inclusive to PWDs? And what areas, actually, this is the most important part, what areas that we could do more improvement on, Malata Mastera?
For me, I think the opportunity in, I'm talking about this section as to specifically on youth, right? Giving youth opportunities to gain more access to education, particularly tertiary education, either TVET or regular universities, as well as employment opportunities. I think that's the most important improvement that the government has to actually mitigate, encouragement, not only providing the private sector, let's say for example, tax relief for hiring PWDs, you know, because that is what they are doing right now, but they can do even more, right? They can basically introduce policies that not only encourage employment for people with disabilities, but somehow make it mandatory. Let's say, for example, the 1% employment in the government sector. Even though until now the 1% has yet to be established, but there is a certain mandatory number written. Yeah. That's why I said the improvement must be done in terms of the implementation. Mm. No matter how beautiful, how well written it is on paper, the implementation must be the main force for improvement.
Execution-wise, what do you think, Faiz, with regards to especially implementation of past policies or past measures, have they been inclusive enough? And any areas that we could do more on?
Basically, we have a lot of document for reference for in terms of disabilities in Malaysia. We have the OQ Act 2008. We have OQ Plan Tindakan Orang Kurang Upaya. Yep. Action Plan for PWDs 2015-2022. But somehow, in 2022, we already escaped, already passed the dates, but somehow they extend the duration up to 2025. Okay. So that is something most of our government on the agency did. Mm. But what I actually agree with the Dr. Mastera said earlier, the implementation is somehow is very, very important because we can see, no matter how good is our documentation somehow, without the implementation, without the, we can say the monitoring process, we cannot evaluate on how far all of this suggestion, all of this initiative has been, we can say somehow, has been implemented. This is the most important part. Mm-hmm. And second, Dr. Mastera also highlight from youth perspective, the access to employment is very, very important because somehow in Malaysia, we can see from the perspective of youth with disability, those who already have graduated, somehow they are unable to enroll the employment market because there has been a mismatch from the perspective of their qualification and a job being offered in the market. Yes. Mm. Some of the job offered in the market somehow not equivalent with their qualification.
Yeah. I mean, that is true to just normal people. Yes, I mean, to just, you know, normal graduates as well. But I can imagine people with PWD.
Ten times worse.
Yeah. And when they have received this kind of situation, they have been in this kind of situation, they spend more time as a jobless compared to people without disabilities. The first access to the employment. Second, we can see about the areas that we need to improve actually in terms of the access to the decision making process. We need to include more people with disability, more disabled people organization into the decision making.
Yeah.
Not just from we can say from the ministry level, but starting from the local council, for example, pihak berkuasa tempatan. We can see that most of our community somehow misuse the facilities for people with disability, the parking itself. So what is the action being taken by the local council? Yes. So if we include people with disability and the disabled people organization in the local council or local authority itself, a lot of perspective, a lot of improvement can be done from the local authority.
And this is one of the ways to tackle implementation as well, right? Yes, like you mentioned, implementation is a big thing when it comes to, you know, policies regarding PWDs and having people who are experts, who are in the field, to actually be a part in decision-making.
The most important that they also experience. So we cannot say that, oh, I see PWD somehow is not too much, so I can put someone else who is not disabled
To represent
make a decision
them.
On behalf of
to
them.
Represent. Because the thing is, like Faiz said, representation is very important. So when people tend to have this idea of let us make decision for them, it is just not a very productive way of looking at decision making. Because if you want to make good decision, you must get the people who are actually in the situation be involved in the decision making.
Definitely, right? Definitely. Right. There have been many calls to amend the PW Act 2008. I would like both of you guys take on this. There's also talks about, you know, defining disability. There's so many layers to this, but I hope we can touch on a few important ones here when it comes to amending, you know, the long-awaited amendment of PW Act 2008. Whichever can go first.
Okay. Yeah. So I think for me, I want the Act itself to be somewhat of have a clause for mandatory action, meaning that whoever misuse, whoever disrespect, whoever you know, for some reason, let's say for example, producing any malinformation, disinformation related to person with disabilities should be penalized. This is the time where the government, particularly the Prime Minister himself, actually pointed out that there should be improvement, major improvement in that act. So this is the time where we can actually push for that mandatory inclusion in the act. Because right now, yes, we have the act to somehow build up the structure of what is it about disability in Malaysia, who is basically classified as disabled, But in terms of the action, in terms of the mandatoriness, is something that we need to improve largely.
Yeah, and it helps safeguards people with disabilities as well. I think
in
that's
terms of the protection, in terms of law protection, because right now they say like, okay, people with disabilities also can use whatever law that non-disabled people use. But the thing is, there are challenges that faced by the PWDs are not unique to PWDs, not necessarily the usual, you know, the usual circumstances like the able-bodied population.
Yeah, right. Faiz, the last answer would be from you.
So most of PWDs somehow they regard the PW Act 2008 somehow as a toothless act because they have, in that we have over 20 provision under PWD Act, but most of these provisions somehow, as have been mentioned by Mastura earlier, they don't have specific, have defined for those who did not obey this provision or did not obey all the regulation under PWD Act, the first. And the second, under PWD Act also, the why most of the PWD advocate, even disability people organization, they fight for amendment of PWDs. Another reason, actually, the PWD itself, it should be the main of IPWD Act somehow. It should protect the right and welfare of PWDs with a strict punishment and have defined for those who ignore or for those who did not follow the rules and regulation. But somehow, in our current PWD Act, it's somehow it's just like a code, a code of values. In order to protect PWD, you should not do that.
Yeah.
It's just a code of value somehow. So that's why, in terms of the PWD Act, our most of the PA people or DPO in Malaysia, they view that by with the certain provision, for example, with the heavy punishment and the stricture measurement and the implementation, and of course the monitoring should be taken part. So with this amendment, we can see that maybe in the future, not so many people, we just think likely that, I can just park my car at the
okay
parking. So we have, without we having a worry start, we maybe have to be fine around. Maybe at least in the current situation, maybe at least the most amount around 100, 200. But if there is enforcement for PWD's facilities, PWD takes certain enforcement, has been established, maybe somehow we much more adhere to the rules and regulation.
If you can go even one step higher, requiring people to have, you know, all establishment, all buildings to have accessibility for PWDs, I think that would be great
and
as well.
Back to that point also, some of the building in Malaysia somehow is not from the universal design.
They have the facilities, like say for example, they have the ramps, they have the toilets, they have whatever the requirements are, but they do not fulfill the
needs and design.
Yeah, the design, the sizing, the measurements. So it is there, but it is non-functional.
Pretty on paper, but
for
not
PWDs,
it's pretty on paper. Like, so I think the main point that I get from all this is, it's there, the policies and reforms are there, but most of them are pretty on paper. And when it comes to implementation, it's a bit lacking. I'm afraid that's all the time we have. I'm going to petition for the show to be a bit longer so we can, you know, tackle a lot more.
Please have
but
two.
For the time being, I think that's all the time we have. Thank you so much, Dr. Mastura and
Thank
Faiz,
so
for being with us here on It's About Youth. Thank you for watching. I'm Fana Sheh.